I've just started recording myself again. This is 11 a.m., June 22nd, 2020, and I'm about to start my lecture on the alphabet and rhythm. I expect to spend most of the hour doing this, but I will try to leave a little bit of time for your questions before we take our next break at lunchtime. If you have short questions, please feel free to interrupt. Vicky Wells, who's with us today, just sent me links to three YouTube videos, which I've put in the chat window. I encourage you to check those out. These are resources on the alphabet. The first one in particular, I recommend trying because it goes through a whole bunch of short syllables. That is, syllables consisting of one consonant followed by one vowel, and those are all pronounced by a fluent speaker. So I highly recommend giving that a listen. Now I'm going to begin talking about the alphabet again. This time I'm going to use the Nuchonalth alphabet tutorial, which is available at quizdoop.net. I'm about to share my screen so you'll get to see what this looks like. I'll show you briefly how to get there. So that you can get there by yourself later when you're practicing outside of class. You should see the Nuchonalth alphabet tutorial now. To get here, you can start from our course webpage. You'll see that under resources, there is a link to quizdoop.net. If you don't have this link, you know how to get there if you can simply remember its name, because quizdoop.net is the URL. This is what the entry page to quizdoop.net looks like. This is my site that I use as a clearinghouse for language materials. And you'll see that the first link on the front page of quizdoop.net is the alphabet tutorial. If you click on that, it takes you here. This is the Nuchonalth alphabet tutorial. When you first enter it, it'll take you to this page where you have to choose your dialect. Currently, there are only two dialects available, Cayucan Chicolset and Northern. But for the purpose of learning the dialect, I mean, sorry, for the purpose of learning the alphabet, it doesn't matter so much which dialect you start with, because the sounds themselves are pronounced the same in every dialect. What's different from dialect to dialect is which sounds are used in which words. So I recommend going to the Northern dialect version, even if you're not studying the Northern dialect. Then that'll bring you to the contents page. You'll see that the contents page has links to several sections. Each of these sections addresses some of the letters of the alphabet. In order, these are the vowels in section 2. There are 10 vowels in the Nuchonalth alphabet. The five usual vowels, A, E, I, O, U, and each one can be short or long. Then, amongst the consonants, the tutorial first goes through what I call the common consonants. These are the consonants that are spelled the same in both English and Nuchonalth. So you already know how to read these, since you all know how to read English. Next is the tip of the tongue sounds. We could also call these the C's and S's. Next are the L sounds, barred L and barred lambda. Then the back of the tongue sounds, that is K's, Q's, and X's. Then the throat sounds, which include plain H, back H, glottal stop, and pharyngeal stop. Last, the tutorial discusses glottalized sounds. First, glottalized plosives, which I usually call just hard plosives for short, and glottalized resonance, or hard resonance for short. That is a complete list of all of the sounds in the Nuchonalth alphabet, roughly starting with the ones that are easier to pronounce and understand, towards the ones that are hardest to learn. We will be reviewing every sound of the alphabet roughly in this order. We've already said some things about the vowels. You heard our enrolled students pronouncing all of the vowels that are in the dialects that they're learning. Next, we will talk about the common consonants. I will not talk about the entire alphabet today. because it takes a long time to go through the entire alphabet. And my experience is that people can only absorb a little bit of the alphabet at once. Once I went through the entire alphabet in one sitting, and by the end, the entire class was completely wiped out, and I don't think they were learning anything by the end. So my goals for today will be to talk about the common consonants, C's, S's, and L sounds, and we might or might not get to the back of the tongue sounds. Now, if you look at the links at the top of the page, you'll see that there's a link to an alphabet chart. And this is what that looks like. This has sound. When I play it, though, I don't think you'll be able to hear it. But the green buttons are audio buttons. So you'll see that all of the letters of the alphabet are listed below, and short A is highlighted. The green box has the example word for this letter, which is putt-putt. And if I click on it, I can hear it said. I can hear that because it's coming through my own headphones, but I'm pretty sure you guys can't. In addition, each word has an example sentence that also has audio attached to it. Since you can't hear what I'm hearing, I'll say it for you. The word is putt-putt. And the example sentence in this case is ushint ishat oh wat putt putt. Ushint ishat oh wat putt putt. Some people used to use inboard motorboats. With this chart, you can click on any letter that you're struggling with. Say you're struggling with hard round K. I can click on it and see that the example word is quiz. I can listen to a recording of it, quiz. And I can also hear a recording of a sentence using that word. Atas atish quis. The snow is thick on the ground. Atas atish quis. I highly recommend listening to Fidelia Hyupis, who is the speaker whose voice we hear, listening to her pronunciation and imitating it. Even if you're not learning the northern dialect, this is a very good tool for improving your pronunciation of all of the sounds of the alphabet. I'm going to go back to the contents of the alphabet tutorial and skip right to the common consonants. There are nine common consonants in Nuchanalth. These consonants are spelled the same way in Nuchanalth that they are in English. And the common consonants are H, K, M, N, P, S, T, W, Y. All of the words below, if you can read them if you know how to pronounce the vowels of Nuchanalth. You already know the common consonants. If you also know the vowels, you can pronounce all of these words. Let's go through these words. I will say each one a couple of times and invite you to say it out loud as well. Tai. Tai. I'm going to make this a little bigger. Some of you might be having trouble seeing it. Tai, meaning the head of a family or the senior one. Su. Su, to hold. Tupkuk. Tupkuk, meaning black. And by the way, in answer to Lindsay's question earlier, what are some of the differences between dialects? This word, the word for black, is one of the few words that's different between East and West Barkly Sound. One of the tiny differences between East Barkly Sound and West Barkly Sound dialects is that in East Barkly Sound, most people say tupkuk with two short U's. Tupkuk is the word for black in East Barkly Sound. Tupkuk. But in West Barkly Sound and the rest of the coast, everyone says tupkuk. Tupkuk. That's an example of a tiny dialect difference. Next, hinin. Hinin, to arrive. Pasuk. Pasuk, damp. Mamuk. Mamuk, work. Or working. Tana, tana, money. It might not be obvious, but this word comes from the English word dollar. Nuchanalth has no D and no L, so dollar becomes tana, tana. Wikus means no one home. Wikus. Husmin, husmin is kelp. Saasin. Saasin. Hummingbird. Kiwitana. Kiwitana. Horse. Hamoot. Hamoot. Bone. These words are among the easiest Nuchonalth words for beginning learners to say. There are not very many words like this in Nuchonalth that consist only of vowels and the common consonants, but these are some of them. So if you are ever teaching beginners, these are very good words to start with. Next, I'd like to move on to tip of the tongue sounds, or C's and S's. The S wedge and C wedge sounds are already familiar from English. S is s, as in sasin. S wedge is sh, as in shukwa, sugar. And C wedge is ch, as in chakup, which is the word for man, chakup. Here are some more examples of these sounds, but before we go through them, I need to talk about the plain C. Unlike S, S wedge, and C wedge, the plain C is used in Nuchonalth but not in English. This is also a confusing letter for people because we use the letter C in English, but we don't use it for the same sound that it's used for in Nuchonalth. In Nuchonalth, the letter C represents the ts sound. Ts. Ts. The C sound sounds like a T followed very closely by an S. Ts. Ts. English speakers have no trouble saying this at the end of a word, as in cheats, cheats, but English speakers do tend to have trouble saying this sound at the beginning of a word, as in tsapin, tsapin, which is our example word for plain C. Tsapin is a sawbill duck. Tsapin. There are a few tricks you can use to, if you are struggling or one of your students is struggling with pronouncing C at the beginning of a word. Here's one trick that you can use. This is how I learned to say it. I remember when I started studying Japanese, Japanese also has words that start with this sound. I was able to learn how to say it by circumventing my English instincts. My English instincts did not want to let me say ts at the beginning of a word, as in tsapin. But it's easier if I put a vowel before it. So if I say a tsapin, it gets a lot easier to say a tsapin, a tsapin. Then I just say the in my head, not out loud, and only say the tsapin part out loud. Tsapin, tsapin. That's one trick you can use to learn to say the ts at the beginning of a word or to teach it to someone else. Now we'll look at some example words with plain C, C wedge, and S wedge. I hope that you can see these. Let's start with yatsuk. Yatsuk, walking. Nuchi. Nuchi, mountain. Nuchi also happens to be the root of the name Nuchanos. The Nuchonalth people and language are named after the mountain range that goes down the middle of Vancouver Island. Next, cheats. Cheats. Fishing. Specifically, trolling, that is, pulling a line behind you. Nuchonalth has a well-developed vocabulary for fishing, which makes sense because Nuchonalth people are a fishing people. Cheats is not all kinds of fishing, it's just trolling, that is, pulling a line. Cheats. Next, chachisht. Chachisht, which is an island out in the ocean. Chew. Chew. Chew is a very common interjection. A lot of people know it as meaning goodbye, and it does mean that, but it can also be used to mean I acknowledge what you've said, and let's move on to a new topic. Chew means all of those things. Okay, I acknowledge what you said. Let's move on to another topic. Goodbye. Basically, chew indicates that we're done with whatever we've been doing and now we're doing something else. Next, chamas. Chamas. Chamas literally means sweet tasting. It's also used for fruits and for candy and dessert. It's used for all of those things. In the southern dialects, chamas also means delicious. In the north, it mainly means sweet or fruit. Hishuk. Hishuk. means all, everything, or everyone. This is another word that shows dialect differences. Most dialects, including West Barkly Sound, say hishuk for all, everyone, everything, but East Barkly dialects say hachatuk, hachatuk for all, everyone, everything. Last, the northern word for umbrella is shapshapsh. Shapshapsh. I found this word very strange when I first heard it, shapshapsh, until I think I figured out what it means. I understand the word shapshapsh to refer to the fact that th the umbrella opens up. Shapshapsh. Shapshapsh. And this word can also be used to describe the opening up of a mushroom. That is everything that I want to say about C and S sounds for now. I will point out one other thing. If we go back to the alphabet handout and we look at the consonants of Nunchaknoth arranged according to what kind of sound they are and where they're made, we see that the C and S sounds are right here in the middle of the table. You'll see that C's and S's are made with the tip of the tongue, but close to the back of the tip of the tongue, so almost at the tongue back. You'll also notice that C and S are made a little bit further forward, and C wedge and S wedge are made a little bit further back. That's what the wedge means. The wedge means C wedge is like C, just a little further back. Try it. Say tsa, tsa. That's a C sound. Tsa. Now ch, ch. That's a C wedge sound. Ch. S and S wedge have the same relationship. Sa, sa is more front. Sh, sh is a little bit further back. So the meaning of the wedge is slightly further back. One other thing I would like to point out, C and S are also the same sound, except that S is aspirant and C is a plosive. I'll say that again. S and C are the same sound, except that C is a plosive, ts, 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 and S is aspirant, ts, ts, ts. The difference between plosives and spirants is that spirants are continuous hissing noises. S is aspirant, ss. It makes a loud hissing noise, and you can keep saying it as long as you have breath. Ss. There's no limit on how long aspirant can be, only your breath. Plosives, on the other hand, cannot be held out like that. The C is pronounced ts, ts. Once you say it, it's over. That's because a plosive sound starts in complete silence and then has a small explosion. Ts, ts. Try saying S and then C, and notice how with S there's continuous airflow, showing that it's aspirant, whereas with C you begin in silence and then open up into an S, but otherwise they're the same sound. Here's the S again. S, s. S is aspirant sound. C is t, t. C is a plosive sound. Understanding the difference between plosives and spirants will help us to understand some patterns in the language, especially having to do with glottalization, and it'll also help understand what I'm going to explain next, which is the difference between Bard L and Bard Lambda. I'm back in the alphabet tutorial, and I'm moving on to the L sounds. Nunchaknoth has two L sounds, the Bard L, which sounds like sl, sl, and the Bard Lambda, which sounds like cl, cl. Our example word for the Bard L is llwtsma, which means woman. Llwtsma. Our example word for the Bard Lambda is clama, clama, which means house post. Clama. Now I'm going back to the alphabet handout, and you'll see that Bard L and Bard Lambda have the same relationship to each other that S and C have to each other. That is, Bard L and Bard Lambda are basically the same sound, except that Bard L is aspirant and Bard Lambda is a plosive. That means that as aspirant, we can hold out Bard L for as long as we have breath. Llwtsma. Llwtsma. Bard Lambda is a plosive. It starts in silence, then has a small explosion. It cannot be held out. It is an instantaneous sound. Kla. Kla. Klama. Klama. So the difference between Bard L and Bard Lambda is that Bard L is a continuous hissy sound. Hlutzma. Bard Lambda is a plosive. Kla. Klama. Now think about the English L. The English L is almost the same sound as the Bard L, except that it is a resonant. Notice that Nuchanoff has the resonance M, N, Y, and W. That is M, N, Y, W. What makes resonant sounds special is that they are made with voicing. That is, the vocal cords are vibrating. M, N, Y, W. They resonate. That's why they're called resonance. Resonants are singable sounds. They can be sung. Spirants and plosives cannot be sung. also, resonants are the most vowel-like consonants. M, N, Y, and W are consonants, but they are somewhat vowel-like in that they can be sung, and this affects how they behave in Nuchanoff. We'll see a few patterns where the resonants behave similarly to vowels. Right now, though, I want to talk about the L sounds. If Nuchanoff had the English L, it would be in the same row as the other resonants. M, N, L, Y, W. The English L is a resonant L. It's made with voicing, with vibrating vocal cords. To learn to say the Bard L, you can start with an English L, but hiss instead of hum. Instead of humming, L, try to hiss. But the tongue is in the same position. That's the difference between the English resonant L and the Nuchanoff Bard L. They're basically the same sound. That is, they're made with the tongue in the same position, but the Bard L is a spirant. As for the Bard Lambda, it is also a very similar sound with the tongue in exactly the same position, but it is a plosive. The way linguists talk about these sounds, we say that L, Bard L, and Bard Lambda have the same place. They're made with the tongue in exactly the same position. They have the same place, but they have different manner. The manner of Bard Lambda is plosive, the manner of Bard L is spirant, and the manner of plain L is resonant. That's all I want to say about L sounds, but please interrupt with a question if you want to clarify anything. I have a question. Now, you advanced learners will, most of you will know the answer to this. So I'd like to see if one of the beginners can figure this out. Take a look at the consonant chart. We're comparing plosive sounds, spirant sounds, and resonant sounds. Which of these sounds can be glottalized and which ones cannot? There's a simple generalization in Nuchanoff about which consonants can be glottalized and which ones cannot. Can anyone answer that? I don't hear anyone, so I'll give you the answer. The answer is plosives and resonants can be plain or glottalized in Nuchanoff. Spirants are only plain. Do you see that? This chart makes that clear. Spirants are only plain, but plosives and resonants can be plain or hard. Now, when we were going through the alphabet, you might have noticed that the glottalization on plosives is pronounced differently from the glottalization on resonants. We will be going into this at a later point, but not today. I'm almost done talking about the alphabet for now. I just want to point out one other pattern, and it has to do with the tongue back sounds. These are the sounds that we'll be talking about next, probably tomorrow. We've talked about the vowels, the common consonants, the C's and S's, and the L sounds. The next group of sounds that we're going to talk about is the tongue back sounds. Now, the tongue back sounds also have a special feature that is shared with no other group of sounds. And that is that the tongue back sounds can be plain or rounded. That is, we have a plain K and a round K, a plain Q and a round Q, a plain X and a round X, and a plain back X and a round back X. Do you see that? Rounding is written in Nuchanoff with a tiny raised W, and it means that the lips are rounded. Plain K sounds like K, round K sounds like Qua. So this chart helps us to see certain patterns in the sound system of Nuchanov. First, only plosive and resonant consonants can be glottalized. Spirant consonants are never glottalized. Second, tongue back sounds, K's, Q's, and X's, can be plain or rounded. That's all I want to say about the alphabet today. Now's a good time for quick questions if you have any. Yes. That's right. I think all of you on the call just heard Vicky, but for the benefit of those listening to the recording later who can only hear my voice, I'll repeat Vicky's question, which is that sometimes I call glottalized sounds glottalized, sometimes I call them hard. These mean exactly the same thing. The reason I say hard most of the time is because glottalization is an important concept in Nuchanov. We have to talk about it a lot, and I prefer to use a one syllable word rather than a four syllable word. Glottalization, five syllables. That's why I usually say hard, but it means the same thing. Thank you, Vicky. Any other brief questions before we move on? So, Vicky just asked another question, which had to do with the fact that as I'm making my alphabet presentation, I've been flipping back and forth between the alphabet tutorial, which is available at kustoop.net, and my summary alphabet handout, which is available at the curriculum and lessons page. It might seem a little bewildering. My comments about the consonant chart are for the benefit of analytical learners. So some of you are analytical learners who will benefit from this technical analysis of the consonant system because it gives us insight into why the sounds behave the way they do. Others of you who are intuitive learners will not find this useful. If you are an intuitive learner, I recommend starting with the 44 alphabet example words. That's what you should focus on. First, try to master these 44 words. Learn how to pronounce them all, and if you can, memorize them. Have them in your head so that when you want to talk about glottal stop, you remember that the example word for glottal stop is ama, meaning loon. Ama. The alphabet tutorial is there for extra help if you need it, and you should all take advantage of however you can hear a native speaker pronouncing these sounds. You can do that using the interactive alphabet tutorial, or if you're lucky, you have a native speaker mentor. So I recommend starting with the alphabet example words. And then using the alphabet tutorial if you need it to improve your pronunciation. Does that answer your question, Vicky? True. I'm now going to move on to a lecture on rhythm. I'll be using the rhythm handout, and I will use the one for Central Nuchanov. Yes, go ahead. The question we just got was, how do we find the online alphabet tutorial? The answer is go first to quizstoup.net, which looks like this. And the address is kwistuup.net. The first link on quizstoup.net is the alphabet tutorial. Click on that, that'll take you to the tutorial. Drew, thank you, Hinatinius. So, Hinatinius is reminding me to try to speak out loud where I'm going, what handout I'm looking at, and how to get there, both for the benefit of the people in the call and for the people listening to this recording afterwards. Did I get that right, Hinatinius? Next, I will be going to the rhythm handout. From the curriculum and lessons page, you'll see the rhythm handout down here. It's available in Barclay Sound, Central, and Cayuca Chelicit versions. I'll be using the Central version, which looks like this. So this is the Central Nuchanov version of the rhythm and intonation handout. We're going to be talking about three kinds of rhythm in Nuchanov that will help you to pronounce words and sentences with the proper rhythm. First, we'll be talking about syllables. Second, we'll be talking about vowel length. Third, we'll be talking about intonation. There's a lot more to say about rhythm, but these are the three most important things to know. Let's begin with syllables. Syllables are chunks of words. Whenever we pronounce words in any language, we pronounce them in chunks. The technical name for these chunks is syllables. The word syllables has three syllables. 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 Even people who can't read and write tend to be very good at counting syllables. It's something that people are very aware of. But the way syllables behave in Nuchanov is a little bit different from the way syllables behave in English. So we're going to look carefully at how syllables work in Nuchanov, and then you can use this information to pronounce Nuchanov with proper syllables, which will make your Nuchanov sound better. In Nuchanov, the pattern for dividing words into syllables is very simple. Every syllable in Nuchanov begins with exactly one consonant, no more, no less. One consonant followed by one vowel. There are sometimes other consonants at the end of the syllable, and there can be any number of these. So in again, every Nuchanov syllable consists of one consonant followed by one vowel, and then there can be from 0 to 5 consonants at the end of the syllable. Here in the first box are some words broken into syllables. The slashes separate the syllables from each other. Let's pronounce these. I'll say each word at fluent speed and then break the syllables up. Hisit. Sakai. Hisit. If I break it into syllables, it's hi-sit. 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 Someone's not muted. Please mute yourself. Next, yuqua. Yuqua. Two syllables, yuqua. Yuqua. So far, all of these syllables have consisted of one consonant followed by one vowel. The only one that has an additional consonant is sit. Notice that even though we write long vowels with two letters, it's considered one sound. So the syllable u has two sounds in it, hard y and a long u. The syllable qua has two sounds in it, a round q and a long a. Next, mamati, bird, mamati, three syllables, ma, ma, ti, ma, ma, ti. Chaumin, pigeon, chaumin, three syllables, cha, u, min, cha, u, min. Next, tlahex means box. Tlahex. Those of you who are beginners will probably find this word significantly harder to pronounce than those other words because it contains a few sounds that are not used in English. Tlahex. Tlahex has two syllables, tla and hex. Tla, hex. Last, huxatu. Huxatu means resting or taking a break. The syllables are hux, a, tu. Hux, a, tu. Several points that I hope that these words will make clear and the way that they're divided into syllables here. First, most syllables in Nuchanov consist of one consonant followed by one vowel, and that's it. But we sometimes get consonants at the end of a word. I'm sorry, at the end of a syllable. We can have one, as in hissit. We can have two, as in hex and hux. And we sometimes get three or four consonants at the end of a syllable. But the beginning of the syllable is always a single consonant. This is one of the differences between English syllables and Nuchanov syllables. English, when English has extra consonants, English likes to put them at the beginning of the syllable. So English has words like still and strong and clan. In these English syllables, the clusters of consonants are found at the beginning of the syllable rather than at the end. In fact, English can have consonant clusters both at the beginning and at the ends of syllables, but Nuchanov only ever has consonant clusters at the ends of syllables. Second point is that there is a difference between syllables and meaningful parts. So take a look at the words in numbered example one. The words are pikchustsuyuk, meaning television, sityaks, meaning it's me, and waichuatli, meaning go to sleep. First, let's pronounce these words by syllables. Television is pikchastsuyuk. Pik chus tsu yuk. Television. It's me. Sit yaks. Si yaks. Si yaks. Two syllables. Go to sleep has five syllables. Wa ichuatli. Wa e chu a tli. Wa ichuatli. Go to sleep. The notation in the middle column with the slashes shows the syllables of those words. Now let's look at the representations in the first column. These are the meaningful parts. The meaningful parts of television are pikchas, tsu, and yuk. Pikchas, tsu, and yuk. We see that these meaningful parts mean pikchas means picture, tsu means in a container, yuk means for the purpose of. So the word television means for the purpose of having pictures in a container. Tsu and yuk happen to be meaningful parts and syllables. Do you see that? In this word, we happen to have a close correspondence between meaningful parts and syllables. But now look at the next one. Sityaks. Sityaks has two meaningful parts. Sityak means to be me, and s is a mood ending meaning I am the subject of the sentence. So in other words, I am me. It is me. Here we do not have a close correspondence between meaningful parts and syllables. The boundary between the meaningful parts is between the Q and the S. Sityak, s. But the boundary between the syllables is between the I and the Y. Sityaks. There is no correspondence in this word between the syllables and the meaningful parts. The reason why we're talking about this is that people to whom this has not been pointed out tend to naively assume that syllables and meaningful parts are the same thing. So it is important that you all realize, especially if you're going to be teaching other people, that syllables and meaningful parts sometimes correspond to each other and sometimes do not correspond at all, but they are not the same thing. If you have any questions about that point, now's a good time to speak up before I move on. I'm going to leave this as an exercise for you at home. Exercise 2 gives you several Nushanalth words and asks you to divide these words into syllables and then say them out loud. If you're a beginner, you might find that you need to write the syllable divisions using a slash before you pronounce them. But it is a very useful skill to develop to be able to break words into syllables in your head. And you will find that you can quickly learn how to do this if you practice it. And knowing how to divide words into syllables in your head will make you sound much better when you're speaking Nuchonal, because you will be breaking the words into chunks the way that fluent speakers do it. I encourage you all to do this exercise at home, but we can also do part of it during our debriefing period, which will be after lunch. So I encourage you all to give it a try during lunch, and if you're confused by something, please ask about it during our debriefing period. I'm moving on to the second page of the rhythm handout. Now we're going to talk about vowel length. Now, we've already seen that Nuchanoth has both short and long vowels. This will be a challenge for all of us, because English does not have a distinction between short and long vowels. If you've studied English at school, which you all have, you were probably taught that English has short and long vowels, but what is meant by this in English grammar is just that these vowels have different quality. So, for example, in English class, you will be taught that the word bet has a short e and the word beat, spelled BEET, has a long E. But what we're talking about there is a difference in quality. Bet and beat, those vowels differ in quality, but they do not differ in length. Neither of those vowels is longer than the other. Nuchonalth long vowels, on the other hand, actually are longer than short vowels. They take twice as long to say. So a short I sounds like this, I, I. A short vowel might take about 50 milliseconds to say. That is 1/20th of a second. whereas a long I sounds like E, E, and it might last for 100 milliseconds. That is 1/10 of a second. Long vowels in Nichanoth really are longer than short vowels. Now, even once you understand that, it takes a while to learn to pronounce that difference, especially if you're coming from a language like English that doesn't make that distinction. One of the features of having a strong English accent in Nichanoth is that people with strong English accents don't pronounce differences in vowel length. They pronounce all vowels with the same length because that's what they're used to doing in English. I'm about to teach you an exercise that will help force yourself to pronounce vowels, Nichanoth vowels, with the proper length. Here's the trick. There are three steps. Step one is to break a word or phrase into syllables. Step two, rewrite the syllables as either L for long or S for short. Third step, put the consonants and vowels back into the pattern, keeping the same rhythm. Let's look at some examples of this to see how it works. In numbered example two, we have the word shahyuti'ath. Shahyuti'ath. This means take care in central dialect. Shahyuti'ath, take care. There are four syllables in this word. Shahyuti'ath. Shahyuti'ath. The vowels of these syllables are short, 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 and long. Do you see that? The first three syllables all contain short vowels. The last syllable contains a long vowel. Therefore, the rhythm of the word is short, 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 long. Short, 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 long. Before I studied Nichanoth, I studied Dityidat, which is a closely related sister language. And I got to a point where I knew how to pronounce all of the sounds of the language. I could even pronounce the difference between short and long vowels if I was pronouncing just the vowel. But as soon as I tried to say an entire word, I couldn't keep it all in my head. I couldn't pronounce all the sounds properly and say the word with the proper rhythm at the same time. But I remembered a trick that I had learned when I studied music, which is to play out the rhythm, beat out the rhythm of the thing you're trying to say. The rhythm of this word is short, 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 long. Short, 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 long. Do you hear how I'm pronouncing the last syllable twice as long as the other ones? Short, 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 long. Short, 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 long. Because I've taken the consonants and vowels out of that word and I'm just focusing on the rhythm, it's easier for me to say the rhythm. Short, 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 long. Short, 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 long. Now that I have the rhythm, I can put the vowels and consonants back in. Shahyuti'ath. Shahyuti'ath. Do you hear that rhythm? Short, 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 long. Shahyuti'ath. Now I'm pronouncing that word with the proper rhythm, with the proper short syllables and long syllables. Let's look at a couple more examples. Tlis tlisaaschi means go to school. Tlis tlisaaschi. It has five syllables. Tlis tlisaaschi. And their rhythm is long, long, short, short, short. Long, long, short, short, short. That's the rhythm of that word. Long, long, short, short, short. Now let's put the consonants and vowels back in. Please, please, saaschi. Please, please, saaschi. At fluent speed, it sounds like please, please, saaschi. Please, please, saaschi. Last, we'll look at the fourth example, which is a three-word sentence. Oyiaks natsi chitsutil. Oyiaks natsi chitsutil. This sentence has eight syllables in it, and the rhythm is short, 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 long, long, short, long, short. Short, 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 long, long, short, long, short. Oye aks nat si chitsutil. Oye aks nat si chitsutil. Short, 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 long, long, short, long, short. Oye aks nat si chitsutil. What I've just shown you is a trick that you can use to help yourself pronounce Nichanoth words and sentences with the proper rhythm. It will often happen that someone points out to you, or you realize yourself that you're not pronouncing a word or sentence with the proper rhythm. You know that you're not doing it right, but you can't make yourself do it because it's too much to think about all at once. The trick is take the vowels and consonants out and just concentrate on the rhythm. Then, when you get the rhythm, you can put the vowels and consonants back in, and your pronunciation will be better. That's the trick. Below that is exercise three, which asks you to practice doing what we just did. Just now, we broke words and sentences down into their proper rhythms of long and short syllables. And then we used that to help us pronounce those words and sentences properly. The words and sentences in exercise three have not been broken down for you, so it's up to you to break them down, analyze the rhythm, and then pronounce the words and sentences with the proper rhythm. I encourage you to take a look at that after class and during lunch, and it's something that we can spend a little more time on in our debriefing period if you want. Last, I have a few remarks on intonation. Intonation is how the pitch of our voice changes as we speak, from high to low. For example, when usually in English, when we make a statement, our voice falls at the end of the sentence. Just now, my voice sounded like because I was making a statement. Do you hear that fall at the end? That's normal for a statement in English. On the other hand, when I ask a question in English, it's normal for the pitch to go up at the end. For example, does any of you have a question? Does any of you have a question? Do you hear how the pitch of my voice goes up at the end? What's his name? Do you want to go to school? In English, it's normal for statements to fall in pitch and for questions to rise in pitch. In other words, statements in English tend to have a final fall, and questions tend to have a final rise in intonation. Neutronal intonation is different from English. Unlike syllables, though, most people find their intonation very difficult to control. People use the intonation they learned in their native language, and they find it very difficult to leave that behind and learn a new intonation. So we're all going to try to do that. And we're all going to have varying degrees of success at doing that. I'll start with some general descriptions of the differences between English and neutronal intonation, and then we'll look at some specific examples. Now, as I said, in English, statements tend to fall in pitch, they go, Questions tend to rise in pitch, they go, Neutronal. Statements also fall. So that's more or less the same between the two languages. But Neutronal questions tend to have flat intonation. I wish that we had, there was a way for me to draw this on a board for you, because this is the kind of thing that's looks much better with a visual aid. But there's something, even though the intonation of questions between Neutronal and English is different, there's something that is the same between the two languages, which is that statements end with a lower pitch than questions do. But in English, that difference is much greater. Statements fall and questions rise. There's quite a dramatic difference in intonation between a statement and a question. In Neutronal, that difference is smaller. Questions tend to have flat intonation or monotone, whereas statements tend to fall. So in both languages, questions have a higher intonation than statements do, but the difference is smaller in Neutronal. As English speakers, the hardest thing is to stop yourself from r raising the pitch of your voice at the end of a question in Neutronal. Let's look at some examples. The sentence "Sutwak" means "Is that you?" Sutwak, Sutwak. When I ask the English question, "Is that you?" Is that you? My voice rises at the end. Is that you? But in the Neutronal question, my voice stays pretty flat. Sutwak. Sutwak. The answer is ha, sityaks. Ha, sityaks. Yes, it's me. In English, the intonation falls because it's a statement. Yes, it's me. And in Neutronal, the intonation also falls because it's a statement. Ha, sityaks. So, in this case, we have basically the same intonation between Neutronal and English in the answer, but different intonation in the questions. Let's look at some other examples. Are you okay? In English, that question has a rising intonation. Are you okay? In Neutronal, it should have a more flat intonation. Shahyutk. Shahyutk. The answer will have a falling intonation in both languages. Yes, I'm okay. Ha shahyuts. Ha shahyuts. Can I play? O om hehs im chap. Can I play? O om hehs im chap. Can you hear my different intonation between the two languages? English, can I play? Nuchanov, o om hes em chop. O om hes em chop. The answer, wick, wa ichuatli. No, go to sleep. Wick, wa ichuatli. No, go to sleep. We've just been comparing the difference in intonation between questions and statements in Nuchanov and English. We see that they're a little bit different. I think that most of you probably understand this difference now, but you will probably find it very difficult to stop yourself from raising the pitch of your voice at the end of questions. this is something that we can talk more about in the debriefing period if you want. One more thing I want to point out concerning intonation, and then we can wrap it up for lunch. The word for yes in Nuchanov has its own special intonation. You might have noticed when I said ha, ha, my voice went up in pitch at the end, and that is normal. In every dialect, the word for yes, ha, has that rising intonation. It's a long, low intonation followed by a rise. Ha, ha, and this is part of the pronunciation of this word. This word happens to have its own special intonation. Those of you who are advanced learners now do this without even thinking about it. But if you pronounce ha, you'll notice that you're doing that. You've learned the special intonation of this word. to summarize the points about rhythm, we looked at how to break words into syllables in Nuchanov and saw that syllables are different from meaningful parts. This is very important because if you're able to pronounce Nuchanov words by syllables, you will sound better in Nuchanov. Next, we talked about vowel length. Pronouncing Nuchanov vowels with the proper lengths is challenging for English speakers because English does not make this distinction. And I showed you a trick for learning how to say words with the proper rhythm. The trick was to take the vowels and consonants out of the word and just focus on the rhythm. Then, once you learn the rhythm, to put the vowels and consonants back in. Last, we talked about intonation. I talked about the difference in intonation between statements and questions in English and Nuchanov, and we also talked about the special intonation of the word for yes, which has a long, low intonation followed by a rise. Drew, that's all I want to say today about the alphabet and rhythm. We have a couple minutes for quick questions now, and we'll have more time for questions after lunch. Would anyone like to say anything before we break? Looks like we're done. Hoogste to 8. Shall we take a break? Hoogste to 8. How uksiatlin? Let's eat. How uksiatlin? Chooch, I'll see you all at 12:30. You'll use the same link to rejoin the chat. Chooch.